Well, today's class had one of those purports, and you'll see what I mean when I get to it. Srila Prabhupada always leaves purporting to be done to his purports. And the first verse had no purport. It said this: the king, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolts. And in the next verse, this is in the fourth canto, King Prithu being praised by professional reciters, chapter 16 and text 23. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upwards, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. And Srila Prabhupada's very brief purport: it is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues, thieves, and other demoniac people in the state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus, it is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. I took it that Srila Prabhupada here was referring to the historical incident of Indira Gandhi, who was Prime Minister of India. And she was so for quite a long time, until she was assassinated. It was actually a memorable occasion, not her assassination, but I remember the occasion of her assassination, in that I was in India at the time, and I just landed in Heathrow Airport. And as I landed in Heathrow Airport, it was that morning that she was assassinated. So the news was there all over in the airport, the newspapers. I think they probably were announcing it over the intercom, and it was really quite a shock. So before I actually managed to get out of the airport, I'd just gotten out of India in time, because they stopped everything, they grounded everything, and there were really a lot of violence going on in different parts of India, particularly in Delhi, after that. Anyhow, here, what I referred to as being something that Srila Prabhupada leaves us a lot to explain and talk about, as the Prabhupada says, how unfortunate it is when a woman becomes the executive head of state. All right, well, let's talk about this. Why not women? We see there are so many women as heads of state. We see, for instance, Margaret Thatcher was hailed as a great prime minister. Right now, the Chancellor of Germany is for the first time a female. She seems to be doing a great job. And there are also other examples. Start off with the principle. The principle is that a woman, according to our tradition, Vedic tradition, should always be protected. So she always needs to be in a subordinate position. You know about that. The husband, the son, the father, someone should be giving protection to women. A king is a person who is giving protection to everyone else, and he's also called Naradev. He's actually the representative of the Supreme Lord, and just as Krishna is Abhigyasarat, he's independent. Similarly, the king is practically like that. He's independent, self-sufficient, heroic. He's not dependent on others, but his quality or characteristic is that he's capable of giving shelter to all other classes of and sexes of people, indeed even animals. Of course, in an emergency, anything can happen, anything can transpire in an emergency, but emergencies are only meant to last for a minimum period of time. We see, for instance, that with Indira Gandhi, she declared a state of emergency because some qualified men were trying to depose her. So if there's no qualified man, and or the king himself is still a prince, he's too young to sit on the throne, then it may be that the queen becomes the head of the state, but only as long as necessary, not as a rule, general rule of thumb, even if she rules better than perhaps some other man. I gave this as the first reason, because we're in our and should be setting the example. King should set the example, queen should set the example, lady should set the example, and the example that they set is being subordinate to and protected by qualified persons. And I cannot overemphasize that women's role is not so simply to be dependent on a father, son, husband, etc., but also those father, sons, husbands should actually be qualified to give shelter. They should be worthy of taking care of women, whom Arjun points out are actually the deciding factor in the quality of progeny, therefore the quality of society. So the social fabric, social structure is based upon the integrity of womanhood. Now, aside from that, there's another perspective which should be borne in mind, and that is that everyone requires to play a certain role in society. That is the emphasis of Varnashram. And people should perform, as we used this phrase yesterday also, their swadharma, their own dharma. People should not accept the dharma of another. If in emergency you have to, that's one thing. But otherwise, everyone should. Otherwise, if women can become kings, then that's transgressing one role of duty. Then so many other roles of duty can also be transgressed. Malecha Raja Rupina, Srimad Bhagavatam says that now Malechas will become kings. So forget about a qualified queen, but now we have Malechas, because there is no pre-qualification, there is no establishment of what someone's guna is, and therefore you determine their karma. It's just on the matter of votes, and people are voting on promises of sense gratification, not on how qualified the ruler is, or head of state. In the same way that our modern concept of education is that everyone should get a university degree, but everyone shouldn't get a university degree. Those people who are actually really qualified for higher education, who know what to do with it, they should get higher education. But other people who are more inclined towards agriculture, to learning some particular trade, some skill, they should be trained and encouraged to do that, rather than being discouraged. And therefore our whole industrial and technological cultures move everyone out of the villages, off the farms, and move everyone into the cities to become computer programmers and technicians. So once again, it's the abandonment of duty. And when people are no longer clear what their nature is, what their dharma is, what their duty is, then everything turns upside down, and there is no social order, and Varnashram goes out the door. So in that sense, Varnashram is in its most fundamental and basic form a valuable preaching tool for devotees. Put aside just all the cultural context of Krishna consciousness and Vedic culture, but just the simple thing that there's Varna and there's Ashram. That people should be encouraged to perform work according to their natures, that there should be division of work, and there should be division of social orders. which means that there should be brahmacharis and grihastas and vanaprastha sannyasis, and there's nothing in between. For instance, in our modern society, we have students, but students don't equate to brahmacharis, because brahmacharya means that you're trained, brahma janati brahmana, what is Brahman, what is the absolute truth, and you live a life of celibacy. These two factors are sorely missing in modern so-called student life. If you emphasize the shishu of celibacy, then there's really something missing in your concept of life. And of course, in a materialistic society, there's no room for wasting time on such things as what's the purpose of life and what is the source of everything. So there's no brahmacharya. And grihastha, people don't accept grihastha life. They live together without getting married. They divorce at the drop of a hat. Householder life is no longer respected, but even if people do enter into household life, then they think that that's the end of life and you just stay there. But no, at a certain point, age 50 or somewhere in that region, 60, then vanaprastha, then you leave for the forest. Leaving for the forest means the essence of leaving for the forest is that you distance yourself from your children's family and you spend all of your time in cultivating spiritual values. Before you leave this world, you strive to achieve perfection. So Srila Prabhupada's emphasis here is not... Some people mistake it some kind of chauvinistic statement that we don't give women a chance to be king. But more important, that if, for the reasons I mentioned, women don't accept their duties in Dharma, but if they transgress, then so many other different orders of life, so many other people will artificially take on so many duties, and society loses its structure. So at least when we preach, this is the minimum that we present in terms of varnashram, that people should establish a certain order in their life, and the order should be based upon these two things, upon their work and their status of life, their varna and their ashram. That's something. That's like baby steps, ABC forward, in terms of establishing some kind of order within society. And without that, when anyone can do anything, qualities don't count, qualification doesn't count, qualification is not required, then you have chaos. And we, literally speaking, do have chaos nowadays. You know, as I mentioned, 1% of Americans are engaged in agriculture, 99% in manufacture. If more than 99% need, more than 1% need to be engaged in agriculture, if things collapse, if you don't have tractors, then where are you in the fields? It's not just a matter of, well, we'll just take the bulls and we'll start plowing the fields. But where's your blacksmiths for making shoes for the cows and the bulls? Where are the people who make harnesses? Where's your harness maker? Where's all the people who will make simple implements? Like plows, these people have been put out of business. Therefore, if we're obliged to live in that type of simple way, then the chaos that we'll be living in will really reveal itself, is that we've done away with a structured society. We've undermined and destroyed that structure, and the people to suffer will be ourselves. A nice example here, before I just end, which was Prithu Maharaj. It's described here how Prithu Maharaj leveled the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow. Now, leveling the earth, clearing the earth, is a business of Vaishyas, and it's something that you do with a plow, and you do with that type of implements. But interestingly here, and to be noted, is that Prithu Maharaj would not give up his weapon. He would not give up his weapon, which is the symbol of his being a Kshatriya. He did the needful, but he did the needful not with a plow, but he did it with a bow. So, a message here that even there may be an emergency, but still, under all conditions, one should be faithful to one's own position, status, and role in life, and one should conduct oneself accordingly. That is most conducive to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.